And we're back here with the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. This is Nathan Ruggles. It's great to be here with you today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'd like to thank the United Steelworkers as well as the UFCW. Why? Because they're two of the unions that support what we do here at the Union Edge, and we appreciate all their underwriting for our programming. I'd also like to note that we appreciate your feedback. You can always send us an email, feedback@theunionedge.com, or head out on Facebook, comment there, or send us a tweet at The Union Edge. So it's my pleasure to have with us back on the show once again with Moms Rising, Kristen Rao Finkbeiner. Kristen, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks so much for having me. So exciting to talk to you.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you. We appreciate your energy, appreciate your knowledge, appreciate everything you bring to the table here. And, well, you know, there's a vote that's going to be happening today in Congress about something that might affect a few people anyway. Taxes, I think, is on the table. Isn't that right?
It's right. It's a no good, very bad, horrible, awful, spectacularly doomful tax proposal.
Kristen, how do you really feel about it?
I really feel that way. In fact, I was in Congress this week, just came back from doing yesterday press conference with leaders Pelosi and many other women leaders and the Democratic Party in Congress about why this bill is so bad. I mean, it's a dramatic wealth shift from the middle class and from those on the edge to the very wealthy. 80% of the taxes will go to the top 2% of earners, 50% to the top 1% of earners, leaving the rest of us in the dark. And that is ridiculous because it hurts our economy. We know trickle-down economics has not worked in the past.
It's Nobody been proven.
Expects it
That's
to
right.
work now. Mm-hmm. It's just awful.
And you so 50% of this tax up to the top 1%.
Yeah, and 80% to the top 2%. I mean, it's awful.
That's incredible.
It's one of those things that if you were going to read a cartoon about bad tax policy, bad for families, bad for workers, bad for our economy, this would be it. This would be like the absolute nightmare of a tax policy. And what's ridiculous about it is in no way, shape, or form is it really expected to stimulate our economy. It's really reverse Robin Hood happening.
Well, you know, that cartoon idea, we should commission that. But in terms,
somebody's done it.
Yeah, we should look out there first, make sure it's not been done already. But no, Robin Hood in reverse, it is the truth here, right? And this whole idea, not only that it's, you know, if we give all this money to the wealthiest among us, right, that somehow it's going to trickle down and we're all going to benefit has been debunked, as well as right, this idea that somehow, you know, all these deficit hawks in Congress have been so concerned about making sure we don't overspend and things, that the hole that's going to go into the budget, they have this fantasy idea that somehow they're going to get more tax dollars coming in, even though they've given these wealthy people this big tax cut.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. I mean, one of the things about this whole ridiculous, awful, wrong trickle-down economics idea is that A, it has never worked, but B, even in the time since it has never worked, it was tried under Reagan, it's been tried in the past, and in fact, we did not see the economic growth happen. We saw less economic growth than under presidents that weren't doing trickle-down economics. So it hasn't worked then, but since then, our economy has actually changed even more. 72% of our GDP is based on consumer spending. And so what that means is that when people don't have money to spend, then our economy falters. So we used to be more based on manufacturing in the old days, and maybe you could kind of make a better argument for trickle-down economics in a time when our economy was more based on manufacturing. But now it's even a completely different, making it much worse economy or economic situation for this tax policy to be going into, because again, 72% of our GDP is based on consumer spending right now, and when people don't have money to spend, it just hurts the entire economy. And this tax platform is like a giant vacuum cleaner of money out of our economy into the pockets of the very wealthy, where, of course, it goes into a bank account where it mostly just sits there. We know from looking at studies.
Whereas they're not spending it.
Put into right? You know, the hands of people who are actually buying things, mm-hmm. Then it stimulates the economy overall.
No, absolutely, and let's say what you're saying makes complete sense. That if you're going to give money to people, they're just going to squirrel it away. That's not going to have the effect on the economy that if you raise wages for those people that are going to go out there and be able to spend that money on things they need. And that 72% of the economy that
actually takes money away. It's not even about raising wages. You know, it's taking away food stamps from people who immediately use those SNAP funds, which is also another word for food stamp, to buy needed groceries. You know, in that study show, a Republican McCain's economist found that for every $1 you spend on SNAP, you get $1.73 back in economic activity in the economy. So, you know, we're seeing high returns on investment in the types of programs that are being cut. So it's really, I'm telling you, it's a bad situation. It's a situation of doom. But we are so excited because people are rising up. They're making phone calls. They're sharing their stories.
Very good.
People are just really, really, really making a difference and having an impact. Thousands of calls have been going in. We have a number right now where you can be walked all the way through how to make a call, what to say. It's 1-844-633-2048. 1-844-633-2048. It's also on the Moms Rising Twitter feed if people want to go look for it.
All right, great. So if people call that number, what happens? Tell us what they can do when they call that number
and then it says, "Hi, thanks for calling. We'll connect you with your elected leader right now. Here's what you're saying." It's like a one line so that you don't have to memorize, you know, like a whole play.
Well, very good. And what do you say to someone who has maybe never called and they might be, "Well, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to say. How do I talk to someone if I call my representative's office?" What would you say to them?
I would say it's super fun. Calling is fun because they count your call. It's sort of like super voting, you know, like you get to vote for who's in your elected leader, and it's kind of like being counted on public policy. And even if your member of Congress actually agrees with you, it's important to make the phone call anyway, because they are reporting to their colleagues how many calls are coming in, and it helps them lobby. So they can like stand up on the floor and say, "My constituents, you know, 10,000 of them called and said no on this ridiculous, harmful, very bad, totally destructive tax plan." And so everybody should call. It's super easy. The offices that you're calling are used to getting calls, and they're used to getting calls from people who don't work in public policy. So, you know, all you have to do is say, "Hey, please stop this ridiculously bad tax plan." That's it. You know, you don't have to say anything else. They're not going to give you the third degree about why.
That's right. They just take your message.
Or, you know, ask you for a PhD in public policy.
They don't screen you like that, right?
Yeah, they're not going to screen you.
And it doesn't take long.
They're just purely registering yes or no. Huh?
And it doesn't take long, right? It's just,
no, it takes
long.
Like 5 seconds. And it makes a huge impact.
And like you said, we definitely need to thank those who are standing up for the right things and are championing the causes that we care about.
Yeah. And just, you know, tell them, reinforce that they, you know, we have their back. So you can still tell somebody you know is on their side to please vote no. That's still very helpful. So the number is 1-844-633-2048. You'll be connected to your member of Congress. There'll be a little line for you to say, like, "Please vote no on these tax proposals of doom." No, we're more professionals than that.
So don't say tax proposals of doom.
Yeah.
I mean,
just
you could.
Please vote no on the tax proposals.
Okay.
And that's it. You're done. And you've had a huge impact. So again, 1-844-633-2048.
Excellent.
And it's happening now, people.
Yes.
The clock is ticking. So.
Don't wait. Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Okay. And real quick, Kristen, we got to go, but where can we find out more about all the great work that you do?
Oh, www.momsrising.org.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much, Kristen.
Thank you.
And that was Kristen Ralph Finkbeiner with Moms Rising. This is Nathan Ruggles with the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
State leaders on Tuesday decided to delay a proposed Medicaid rate cut for hospitals intended to fill a budget gap. But some researchers say there are cost drivers beyond the walls of medical buildings that could also be examined. Lauren Anthes with the Center for Community Solutions says safe, affordable housing is one of the non-clinical issues that impact the cost of health care. And he notes Ohio has significant rates of housing insecurity and is one of the nation's worst performers in terms of housing equity.
Medicaid has played a key role in connecting the chronically homeless to those services and supports which address these issues. And there's more that Ohio could be doing to support policies within and outside of Medicaid to increase access to safe, affordable housing.
In an assessment of Ohio's Medicaid expansion, nearly half of people said it was easier to remain current on their rent or mortgage since implementation. Anthus contends state leaders need to look at increased investments in programs like subsidized housing and the Ohio Housing Trust Fund as ways to bring down Medicaid costs. Within Medicaid, Anthus says some other states are coordinating care between multiple settings and social service environments.
California essentially said what we're going to try to do is make a specific effort to coordinate services for individuals who are homeless so that we can get them into stable housing and then wrap around the other medical supports that they may need because it's cost effective.
Mark McDermott with Enterprise Community Partners in Ohio, an affordable housing and community development organization, says many low-income working Ohioans are just a paycheck away from being thrown into a crisis. But he says affordable health care and housing can make a difference.
It means that they're not going to be using emergency rooms without insurance, that they're not going to be putting off health visits and therefore developing chronic health diseases that in fact cost a lot more money and time to treat. So the two really go hand in hand in terms of people really moving out of poverty.
Data released by Enterprise and the Center for Outcomes Research and Education found secure housing contributed to a 12% reduction in overall Medicaid costs. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana. Los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
And we're back here with Union Edge, Labor Talk Radio. This is Nathan Ruggles. Thanks for being here with us today. We'd like to thank the Teamsters, as well as AppleTree Media Works, for their ongoing support for our program. And online, we have with us, with Moms Rising, Kristen Rao Finkbeiner. Kristen, thanks for coming back on the program. I feel like it's been so long since we talked.
I know, it's been ages.
And a whole few minutes, in fact. I have to apologize. That simply was not paying attention to our schedule, and we were coming back with you because there's so much more that we could talk about, right? So many more things to go on in addition to the tax discussion we just had before the break. So we are back now, and we have obviously, other than taxes, I know healthcare is certainly a big thing on the agenda right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's some bad news that we need to rise up again. The good news is healthcare has been under attack more than 50 times since its passed, and we, meaning the moms, the dads, the people, the working families of America, have won and have protected the healthcare of tens of millions of people. The bad news is that we are having to stand up and protect it again. Just this week, U.S. Senate Republicans as part of moving forward that disastrous tax plan, actually went after the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act, which would kick about 13 million people off of health care. So once again, we need to rise up, and part of opposing the tax plan is actually saving health care. So it's an important time to raise your voice. And it's also an important time, there's a couple other emergencies happening right now, where it's an important time to raise our voices. One is immigrant families in particular are being targeted by the Trump administration with the rescinding of the DREAM, the DACA, which protects Dreamers. So we're pushing forward. We're on the Hill today, pushing forward, passing the DREAM Act, which would allow Dreamers to continue to be here in the United States of America, as well as dealing with this horrible situation where TPS, Temporary Protected Status recipients, have had that revoked by Donald Trump. And that is hundreds of thousands of people, including hundreds of thousands of children. And so standing up to say, you know, this is ridiculous. On Thanksgiving, a time when we're all coming together with our families, President Trump and the congressional Republican leadership are tearing families apart. And that is not okay, because it also tears our communities apart. And we all know that the diversity of our nation is actually what makes us strong, innovative, and prosperous, not the opposite. So it's really tearing apart our family.
And they call them Dreamers for a reason, right? It used the DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. These are, they were kids when they arrived here. This is their home. This is a place that they call home, and for so many of them, if not all of them, right? And this is the place that they know as home, this country. And this idea that we are going to take away this plan to help them stay here is just, like you said, especially at this time of the year, is just so inhumane.
It's inhumane, and a lot of people don't realize, but so you mentioned something really important. DACA covers the young people who were brought here as children, and then you have to apply, go through a vetting process, and be granted DACA status. It's not like people, you know, this is a protected group of people in our country. There's even an application fee. You know, it's a pretty expensive process to get to be covered under DACA. And so that is what has been rescinded, as well as the temporary protected status, which does impact hundreds of thousands of people. It's not, you know, these are statuses, immigration statuses, that people worked really hard to get, you know, and were accepted. So it's kind of like taking away your driver's license randomly. You know, like, what if you woke up one morning and all of a sudden you read in the news, oh, so sorry, we've decided to take away your driver's license. You know, you go in, you pay a fee for your driver's license, you take the test, make sure you can see that you won't run into any poles, you know, on the side of the road.
Sure.
And you're using that to work, you know, to get on a plane, et cetera, your driver's license, and then all of a sudden, randomly, it's taken away. So it's not, it's a situation where it's really doubly awful. And then we have another situation. See, I'm on a soapbox here.
That's all right. Which you go for it. Keep going. You always give us important stuff to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have some annoyances here today, which is that we don't have comprehensive immigration policy in the United States of America right now. So for people who are undocumented and are here in the United States of America, many have been here for decades, there is no line to even stand in to get documented. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, people are like, oh,
you
need to stand in line. Well, there is no line. We don't have comprehensive immigration policy right here in the United States of America. So we also need to advance that in the long run, because too many people are being left in limbo. And again, we have economic impacts. So we have community impacts. I don't know about your family. My family has many people who are immigrants in it. So we have personal impacts. Many of us are immigrants ourselves. And then we also have economic impacts, where, you know, 40% of the Fortune 500 companies were started by immigrants or the children of immigrants. Many immigrants are starting small and medium businesses at a greater rate than folks who are native-born. And we also have a situation where immigrants are also working in many additional jobs, and we're seeing across the country. We've had net negative immigration at our southern border for over a decade. And we're seeing even...
That's right, and people don't know that either. People do not know that.
But we're seeing, like, I live in Washington State, so we have a big agricultural program here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a situation where farmers are freaking out because there aren't enough workers actually to pick the food, to make the food go from farm to table, and they're losing crops. So, you know, there's huge negative impacts. But let's go back to this whole thing about we've had negative, you know, immigration over our southern border for over a decade, way before Trump. And, you know, this is really a non-issue that he's addressing.
Well, yeah, if you would just listen to what he has to say in his tweets, you'd think that, that we had people flooding, you know, over the border every day in enormous numbers, right, as opposed to the reality of the situation. And in any case, going back to what you said, and then this need for a more comprehensive solution to this issue where you have people who are contributing to our society, right? They're contributing, they're holding key positions in many industries, whether it is out there in Washington State and they're in produce industry and the apple industry, or in California and also in agriculture. We have people in the tech industry as well, and some of these, some of our most high-powered companies in the country, that immigrants hold very particular important positions and jobs in our country. And this idea that we can't come to some system that actually makes sense, that allow these people to work here and make sure that they are as well as that the people that employ them respect them and pay them a good wage as well.
And when you dig down to it, it's even worse. I am the cheerful bearer of bad news today. I hate to tell you this. It's even worse when we look at who is immigrating across our southern border. Two-thirds are women and children, many of whom are fleeing an area of extreme violence in Central America. And ICE itself did an analysis and found that if those immigrants had access to an attorney as they came over into our country, more than 80% would qualify for asylum under international law.
That's incredible.
So, we're talking about a situation where we have women and children largely fleeing direct violence and sexual assault and not getting access to attorneys and being treated as criminals instead of as they should be treated under international law. So what we're really looking at is human rights abuses in the name of immigration enforcement. And that is where it starts to get a little bit, you know, keep me up at night, because this is a time in our history when our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren might read about it in their future school books and say, hey, what were you doing when this was going on?
Yeah, when you have these women and children that are running from horrible situations, and we weren't there to receive them with care and love and compassion, right?
Exactly.
Kristen, we're going to have to go, but final word, 20 seconds, and how we can find out more about all the great work that you do.
Okay. A lot of data of doom, but don't feel doomful. We've seen our voices have an impact over and over again. Be sure to call your members of Congress, tell them to pass a Clean Dream Act immediately. So again, call your member of Congress, say pass a Clean Dream Act immediately,
okay,
and together we'll have an impact.
Excellent. Clean Dream Act, wonderful. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being on the program.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Kristen Ralph Finkbeiner of Moms Rising, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.